Come on, I need somebody to give God some glory like you know. Like you know that God made a way. Anybody here know? That you sure enough know? I'm talking about you're clear that if it had not been God, that you may not be where you are, and they not have made it, they not have survived it, and they not have made it through it. But anybody here online just giving God about 10 seconds to just tell you, God, thank you for making a way. Even when I didn't see a way, you made a way. Even when I didn't know there was a way, God made a way. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise in this house. Whether you're in here, whether you're online, you ought to be able to tell God, thank you that you made a way. Thank you. Bills got paid. Thank you. Children got saved. Thank you. I was able to keep my job in the house because you made. Hallelujah. Hug somebody, tell them, you just don't know. No, tell them. Matter of fact, for some of y'all, you can say, no, you do know. You just do know. You know where I came from. You know what I had to go through to get here. Amen. And I apologize that I can't help myself but to tell God thank you. I apologize because I know how good God has been. Amen. Let me share something with you why it hit me so hard this morning. On Monday morning, which is usually my day off, usually Monday, I take a break. I get rest. I try to chill. I try to decompress, get myself together. And I think it was Monday. Monday morning, and I got a text. I got a text from the member, and it's the text said, it said that rushing Paulette to the hospital where she's not doing well, and so I hurried up, got my clothes on, got down to the hospital, and was told that her sister Paulette, her sugar level was 1,200. She was headed into what's called a diabetic coma, and I'm sitting there watching. But we prayed faith. Me and Sister Aretha, we sat in that hospital room and we prayed over Sister Paulette, believing that God could touch her body and God could normalize and get blood sugar. That was on Monday. And every day after that, I would get a text that would let me know how God was increasing and how she was progressing. First, they had to take her from the ER to the ICU, and then they took her from the ICU, and they took her to step down. And then I finally got that last text that said, she's home. I don't know about you that I can't do nothing to give God glory. But let me tell you why it hit me so hard this morning. Because she's right there. That's on Monday. She was close to death. And on Sunday, she's giving God glory. You can't tell me that God won't make. That God won't make a way. Hallelujah. You can't tell me that God won't make a way. You can't tell me that God still doesn't perform miracles. You can't tell me that God still won't show up in your hospital room, touch your body, use doctors and nurses, and even when they come up short, His Holy Ghost will come through and get your levels where they need to be. You can't tell me that God can't make a way. Hallelujah. Somebody said if He can do it to her, He can do it to me. Whatever your situation is, God is still in the blessing business. Whatever your issue is, your concern is, I don't know if you heard it or not, but let me tell you, God is still a healer. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning, but can I tell you that God still is a provider? I don't know what your struggle is this morning, but can I tell you that God is still a deliverer? Whatever you need, that's who God is. Matter of fact, just stretch your hands to glory. Tell God, thank you for being what I need you to be right now. Right now, God. Hands lifted, you know what we need. God, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you glory. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? A God that cares about us, that loves us. We can send out petitions to. And they don't just end up on the floor of the throne room, but he reads every request. He sends angels out on assignment to answer those requests. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? God, we thank you. God, you've been good to us. We are grateful this morning. And so, God, we thank you, hands lifted, because whatever we need you to be, that's who you are. But also hands lifted, just to let you know we thank you. We surrender all of it over to you. We thank you. We lift our hands in total praise. God, you've been good to us. Now, God, in Jesus' name, settle us, speak to us, encourage us, give us peace. Allow us not to leave here the same way we came. And God, we'll be sure to give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory this morning. If I could get some help on these monitors this morning, I'm going to need y'all to give me as much as y'all can. Need y'all to help me this morning. I had to preach not only today. Keep me in your prayers. I'll be preaching at Reed Temple and the church for their closeout men's service at 6 o'clock p.m. tonight. And so it's grand that you would keep me in your prayers, that because of that, I need all the help I can get in these monitors. Amen. I don't need to stress my vocals this morning. Amen. So thank God for one of the greatest technicians to ever do it. Y'all give God a hand clap, praise Brother Googie. Amen. I know he gonna get me right. I appreciate you, sir. Y'all turn with me to Mark the 8th chapter. Mark the 8th chapter. Look at somebody telling God is good. God is good. Mark 8, verse 22 through 26. Mark 8, verses 22 through 26. And it says, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and he said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home, saying, don't even go into the village. I want to preach this morning, if you don't mind. I want to preach on a sermon topic. Tell somebody, I'm getting my senses back. I'm getting my senses back. I've been this past week, matter of fact, really this past 2 weeks, I have been battling a cold. And I don't know about you, but can I tell you what I hate most about catching a cold? More than just a sore throat. I hate a sore throat. I do. More than uncontrollable coughing that keeps you up at night. Can't even really sleep because you keep coughing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But even more than that, and more than mucus, y'all know mucus that just invades every part of your territory. And you got tissue everywhere, rolling it up, throwing it all over the place. Look in your room, just look filthy, just nasty. But I'm going to tell you the thing that I hate the most when I catch a cold. As a foodie, the one thing that is most irritating is the loss of my sense of taste and smell. You know the two go together. I don't know if you know that. I learned this, that even before you taste something, you've already smelt it, which then enhances the taste. And it gets to me, Minister Gray. I mean, it wears me out, man. Going to my mama's house and not being able to smell the food before I even get to the door, that's irritating. And then getting to the table and having to imagine in my mind what it tastes like. because I know I can't even enjoy it like I would want to. And all I've been praying for the last couple of weeks, God, I just need to get my senses back. And it got me thinking, what is the sense that most folks would find it hard to live without? And so I did some research. I found that according to a study from the Wilner Eye Institute at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, most individuals feel that the loss of their vision, the loss of sight, would be the worst of any of the five senses to lose, more than hearing, more than touch, smell, and more than taste. Matter of fact, it's shared that we perceive up to 80% of all impressions by means of what we see. And God started to mess with me on that and shared with me that one of the reasons Christians aren't able to really live an abundant life isn't because it's not available to us, but many times because we have lost the sense that the aforementioned study claimed most valuable. We are so blind to the everyday miracles that are directly in front of us that it keeps us from experiencing the fullness of life, success, and even purpose. We have constrained and limited sight because we are in need of God's scalpel to perform LASIK eye surgery to help us see again, to help us get our senses back. And if we are honest, all of us right here in the church, from the pulpit to the pews, have at some point temporarily lost our sense of spiritual sight. The ability to adequately accept the abundant accommodations the Almighty automatically affords all of us. We find ourselves not being able to sense and see what God's been doing. Sometimes the reason we have lost our awareness of all the many blessings God has given us and the many promises God has kept is because we are operating without the visual capacity to see God's hand at work in our lives. We have found ourselves blinded by doubt, stress, and worry. We have found ourselves blurred by burdens, hardships, and misfortune. We have found ourselves overwhelmed by temptations, seductions, and desires. So the things of God that used to be in plain sight have gotten more difficult to recognize due to the wool that the enemy has pulled over the sheep's eyes. And so God directed me to this text this morning, this scripture of a man that had lost his sense of sight, his friends. Matter of fact, it does not even say his friends. It says some people brought this blind man to Jesus and begged Jesus to touch him. Jesus sits on his ass and then touches him. He asked the blind man what he saw. And the blind man told him, he said, I see people that look like trees. Jesus touched him once again, and the blind man's eyesight was completely restored. And this text just it began to nest with me, and I began to ask God what he was trying to show us. And if you don't believe the nine, I believe that we find what many of us may need to understand if we ever plan to get our senses back, if we ever plan to visualize purpose and passion again, to picture happiness and prosperity again, to foresee wins and victories again, to identify and be able to recognize miracles and lessons that are directly in front of us. Tell somebody, I just want to see again. I just want to see again. And I believe that when we look at this text, there are three things that God shares with us this morning. In order to get our sight back, our senses back, the first thing that we see in the text is that in order to get our senses back, that sometimes it's going to be important for us to get away from the village. Look at somebody telling you've been hanging out in the village too long. Yeah. When we look at this scripture, first thing we see in verse 23 is that Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of the village. Question you need to be asking is, why did Jesus feel the need to take the man away from where his friends initially brought him? Why couldn't Jesus have just healed him in the village? Why couldn't he have just allowed the miracle to take place in the village? And I began to look up this village of Bethsaida. It is the same village that in Luke and in Matthew, the 11th chapter, we see that Jesus rejected and denounced this village because the people did not repent from their negative ways even after they had seen Jesus perform miracles. So Jesus is trying to get us to understand that there's some miracles he can't perform in places that you've been in. So even though he'll meet you there, he won't bless you there. Jesus led him in the village to get him out of the village. Because sometimes it is the village that has kept us from seeing and sensing what God has been trying to show us. It's the village that holds us hostage to our past and is constantly reminding us of our ill condition. It's the village that has us down to negative people and negative thoughts and negative behaviors. It's the village that supports our brokenness and aids our ignorance and encourages our dysfunction. And in order for us to get our senses back, sometimes we have to be involuntarily led away from what we are used to in the village that Jesus wants to bring us out of. Tell somebody, I got to get out of my village. I got to leave this village. The problem is when we stay connected to the village, it keeps us from getting totally connected to Jesus. Sometimes the reason we can't get a sense of our miracles is because we have not been willing to leave our village and truly follow Jesus where he wants us to go. We seek Jesus on Sunday, but we choose the village during the week. We pray to Jesus early in the morning, but we choose the village late at night. Call on Jesus when we need him to deliver us from evil, but we choose the village that leads us right back into temptation. But what I love about this text, can I tell you what I love about it? Can I read verse 23 again for you? You may have missed it. It says, Jesus took the dying man by the hand and led him outside the village. Y'all missed it. He didn't ask the dying man if he wanted to leave. He did not give him an option to make a decision. And although God has given us the power to choose and we all have free will, there are moments in our lives when God knows not to ask us our opinion. Because left up to us, we would have just stayed in the village. God will just snatch us up and get us out of harm's way. In order to help us get our senses that God will just remove us from what's aiding and abetting and keeping us blind without asking our permission or our approval. I wonder if there's anybody here that's just thankful to God that God didn't ask you. He just led you out of hand and got you out of your village. You would have never gotten your senses back if God hadn't had your ex break your heart to get you out of the situationship that God never put you in. Would have never gotten your senses back if God hadn't allowed your boss to fire you from that job that was keeping you from reaching your truest potential. You would have stayed right there in your village. You would have never have gotten your senses back if God hadn't allowed that storm to bring order to some chaos that you had gotten comfortable with. Truth is, sometimes we don't need to ask God what we need to ask God to just take our hand and lead us out. Anybody grateful this morning that God led you out? Anybody here willing to testify that when God finally got you free from the village, it was the best non-decision you ever made? Is there anyone that can bear witness that all the lessons God has given you can't even compare to the stuff you lost in the village? Tell somebody, I thank God. I thank God. I got away from the village. The second thing is not only do you have to get away from the village, but the second thing you have to sometimes you have to tell yourself, I may need another touch. Look at somebody, just touch them, say, I needed that, I needed that, I needed that. The miracle has a little twist that you wouldn't necessarily expect to see in a miracle that Jesus executed. In every other miracle Jesus ever performed, it only took one touch. It only took one word. And immediately the miracle happened. What caught my attention is that This is the only miracle that required Jesus touch the man two times, because the first touch didn't totally heal him. The Bible says that after Jesus initially stood on his eyes and touched the blind man, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" The blind man responds by saying he could see people who looked like trees walking around. Jesus then puts his hands on his eyes for a second time, and his eyesight was completely restored. My question for Jesus was, why did it take you two times to restore the man's sight when I know who you are? I know you could have done it with just one touch. I know when you asked him the first time, what could he see? I already knew that you knew he wasn't totally healed. I'm confused. I'm scratching my head trying to figure this out. And Jesus told me that one of the reasons we can't always sense the power of God is because we focus on the immediacy of the miracle and give up on the process of the miracle. In other words, we are so focused on the finish line that we forget that sometimes there is still a race that we got to run. The blind man understood that even though he could not totally see after Jesus touched him the first time, that he still understood he could see something. Whew. He didn't complain. He didn't throw a fit. He didn't get upset. He didn't question Jesus' ability or authority to get his senses back, because even though the man was still partially blind, he still believed in the process that Jesus was making him better. The reason I appreciate the blind man is because he didn't focus on what he couldn't see. All he did was talk about what he could see. He was fully aware that getting back to where he needed to be was going to be a process. Even when Jesus is in the performing the miracle, it still doesn't mean it will always happen overnight. You didn't get there overnight, and it may not happen overnight. And sometimes our problem is that we miss the fact that we are doing better, even though we have not yet experienced the fullness of the miracle. Better is a sign that I am on my way to wholeness. Better lets me know that God is still working on me. Better reminds me that even though I'm not fully where I want to be, I am thankful to God that I'm sure not where I used to be. Better gives me hope, and better gives me confidence, and better gives me assurance that God is not through with me yet. Sometimes you need to learn to be thankful that God is making you better. I'm not out of debt, but I'm paying most of my bills. I'm not all the way healed, but I ain't in the hospital no more. I'm not experiencing the death in my relationship, but I'm not in divorce court. I may not have the fullness of the miracle, but I'm at least seeing people who look like trees walking around me. I dare you to tell God thank you for the first touch. The first touch kept me from cussing out my boss and losing my income. The first touch kept me from giving up on my marriage too soon. The first touch kept me from losing my entire mind in the midst of overwhelming obstacles. The first touch kept the Christian from getting a destiny. And if he touched me once, he can touch me again. Look at somebody, tell them, just wait for the second touch. Just wait for the second touch. I know I ain't all the way together, but just wait for the second touch. And I thank God that if there's a second touch, that means that God's hand is still on me. I thank God. Please be patient with me, because God is not through with me yet. Look at somebody, tell him he's still touching me. Oh, that's good news right there. He's still touching me. He's still healing me. He's still delivering me. He's still causing me to be better than I was yesterday. Even though I messed up again today, I thank God he's still. Anybody got it? He's still touching you, crazy. Then look at your neighbor, tell him you don't know what I came from. You wouldn't even have sat beside me if you didn't even understand how he touched me time and time again. He's still. Last thing Take your seats. I got to get you out of here. The last thing is this. The last thing is you're going to get your senses back. Not only do you have to understand that sometimes you have to get away from the village, not only do you have to understand that sometimes you have to let folks know and let yourself know. Give yourself a break and tell yourself if he touched me once, he can touch me again. Look at somebody telling, I'm still in process. That's all I'm letting you know. I'm still in process. But the last thing I need to make sure you understand, because I can't let you leave these doors and not get this last coin. Because if you don't get anything, I need you to get this last coin. Can I tell you what it is? Can I let you know what it is? Go home. Go home. Y'all was looking for something grand in nature. Go. And not only go home, go straight home. Y'all know how Nana used to tell you. Verse 25, that says, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Verse 26 goes on to say, and caught my attention, it says that Jesus sent him home. They told him, don't go into the village. I realized I had made an incorrect assumption, Reverend Dwight. The assumption I made is that I thought that since Jesus met him in the village, I thought that that's where he was from. I thought that because that's where he met him, that's where his home was located. But the village wasn't actually his home. It was his temporary residence. While he was blind. I also recognize something that you all may not have seen. This is why I went to school. When we are introduced to this blind man in the village, we are given no background history of his previous condition. Unlike the blind man that we find in the gospel of John in the 9th chapter, who they make sure to tell us was blind since birth. So all we can come to the conclusion is that he once could see. Okay. Let me help y'all here. What I believe God shared with me. Jesus pulled the man out of the village, not just to get him away from what was keeping him blind, but I believe Jesus actually pulled him out of what caused him to be blind in the first place. His command for him not to go back to the village was Jesus understanding that the thing he had delivered out of the man, he had not delivered out of the village. The lures, the illusions, and the seductions were still present in the village. Jesus was not delivering the village. He was delivering the man. Jesus knew if the man went back, that blindness would be waiting with open arms to reattach itself to both his cornea and his spirit. So Jesus sent the man with restored sight home. Y'all still not getting it. When I was younger, whenever I would get ready to go to school, my mother and father would always tell me, they would say, son, after school, come straight home. Don't deviate. Don't go left. Don't go to the rails. Don't go to grinds. Bring your behind straight home. And normally I was good at it, but there were times because all of us know we get home before our parents do. And so there was this tunnel, this underground tunnel. I may have told y'all this before. And it was a secret tunnel in the neighborhood. And at the school, sometimes we would go to the tunnel and it had water in between it. And you would skip across and try to get all the way to the other side. And then it would be dark all the way there. And then you just see this little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And you come out on the other side. And so there were times that I didn't always come straight home. There were times I wanted to be with my friends, and I went to the tunnel. And I remember this one time I went, and I thank God I had band practice. My daddy had bought me this brand new trumpet house. And I love that trumpet. And everybody asked for me to go to the tunnel. I said, I can't go to the tunnel. I need to go home. And the tear crusher got so great. I said, well, okay, I'll go. And I got to the tunnel, and I got to the outside. Realized, though, that what my daddy had given me wouldn't fit in the tunnel. I could not take it with me. I left it on the outside of the tunnel. And so I went through having a doll, enjoying myself. Got to the end of the tunnel, got out, came back. Man. Got out that tunnel. And that which my daddy had given me, that which he had gifted me with, that which was valuable not only to me, but to him. That which he entrusted me with was gone. It was no longer there. Because at some point, if you play in the tunnel or the village long enough, that which God has given you, the enemy will take from you. So, I'm just saying that to tell somebody this morning who knows that you've been going to the village here and there, go home. Don't keep playing in DMs, go home. Don't keep texting Negroes and Negrettes, go home. Don't keep spending time with your favorite three friends, Jack, Henny, and Thetrone, go home. I'm trying to help y'all. See, y'all think I'm telling you that the reality is if you play in the village long enough, you will lose your senses. You will lose what God has given you. You will lose your focus. You will lose your anointing. You will lose your calling. You will lose your clarity. And you will find yourself trying to figure out, how did I get here? And the only thing you'll have to be honest with yourself is because I didn't go home. I'm talking to some husbands this morning. Go home. They need your covering. They need your protection. They need to know that they are still priority. Go home. I'm talking to somebody who's been financially tapped out by an MGM casino that still ain't put no money into the education that they said they was going to. Go home. You are losing more than you're gaining. Go home. I'm talking to somebody who keeps playing with somebody who you know you need to let go of. Go home. They don't mean you no good, because if they did, they would still be in your life and they would be a benefit. And you wouldn't keep crying at night, feeling heartache and hurt and pain that they've caused you. I'm just trying to be honest with y'all this morning. Look at somebody, tell them, just go straight home. Don't lose what God has for you, because you want to play in the village. The village is not your house, and it is definitely not your home. Standing all over the church.